All right, good morning, everybody. Happy anniversary, happy 6 years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My phone's telling me that Canada and Chile are about to play Copa America, but I'm saying no, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be worshiping and serving Jesus Christ instead of watching the soccer. I know you're all doing the same thing, praise God. Okay, so grab your hymnals. Let's begin by praising our Lord Jesus Christ. We've 143 in your hymnals, 143. We got to start with this one. Blessed Assurance, just because we're called Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 143, can you please stand when you have found it? Blessed Assurance, 143. Blessed Assurance. All right, let's sing it up to the Lord.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, beautiful singing, guys. Let's go to a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank You for 6 years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, that we've been able to come together as a church united under our Lord Jesus Christ, to serve, to worship, to learn from You. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will do a great work in us this morning. Please revive us, Lord. Please light a fire, Lord, within us, if that fire has been burnt out a little bit, Lord, over the recent months. And maybe trials and tribulations, Lord, have caused us to lose our sight upon You. So Lord, please just uplift us, encourage us this morning. Lord, we want to ask for another 6 years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, another 10 years, 11 years, 100 years, whatever You have for us, Lord, to serve You faithfully. Thank You for the love that we have one toward another, for Your help, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we sing our praises to You this morning, Lord, that You'd receive it with gladness. Lord, we want to honor You. We want to bless You, Lord. You're a great God. Thank You so much for Your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. 200, please. 247. 247. We'll sing Saved, Saved. Again, happy birthday, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You guys are a real encouragement to me. Thank you for your love and friendship over these last 6 years. And, you know, we would not be together if not for Jesus Christ. You know, He's the one that brings us together. Here's what we share in unity. Our common interest is Jesus Christ, of course, and our salvation through Him. So we'll sing 247. Saved, Saved. 247.
I found a friend who my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my job is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
Amen. Amen. Excellent singing. Let's go to 448, please. 448. 448. Thank you so much for the soul winning. Yesterday, Brother Anthony, you counted 9, I counted 10. I don't know, how many were there? Does anyone know what's the final number?
I think Tony put down, like we had a salvation at the door.
Oh, yeah?
Tony put it down, then I put it down, so maybe you counted the same one.
Ah, Brother Tony. All right. 9 salvations yesterday, praise God for that. Excellent work, guys. Thank you for going out door-to-door soul winning. That's the main reason we exist as a church, to preach the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. So 448, we're gathered here today. Brethren, we have met to worship. We've come together for fellowship. We've come to know more of Jesus Christ. So 448, brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Pray with all your power while we try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Reverent pray in holy manner will be showered all around. Reverent see for sinners on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Reverend pray and holy manner will be showered all around. Will you join and help us, Moses?
excellent singing, sounding beautiful this morning. Brother Tony, what time are we meeting for lunch today? What's the goal?
Around
12:15. Brother Tim, you got some trivia questions.
We can do it at the restaurant.
We can do it at the restaurant. I was just thinking about breaking up the singing a little bit now. We'll do it at the restaurant. So bring on your trivia caps for the restaurant. Some people, now half the church is not going to turn up for lunch. Because they're like, I don't want to play trivia. Turn up for lunch. And if you get the right answers, your meal will be covered. It'll be paid for. All right. Let's turn to hymn number 332. 332 before the Bible reading. 332, we'll sing Channels Only. 300. 332, Channels Only. 332.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day. Self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day. Streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
All right, we need to make some space. If we are able to move to the walls and don't leave a seat in between, we can make some room before we get into the Bible reading. The Bible reading is going to be from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. And before we get into the reading, our reader is going to be Brother Emilio. He's come all the way from Melbourne just to read the Bible for us. I do want to acknowledge, of course, Brother Emilio. It's come from Melbourne. It's come across state borders. All right. Sister Clarissa as well from Melbourne. Okay. Brother Martin from Victoria. Man, we thought nothing good comes out of Victoria. But there's at least three great things coming out of Victoria. Praise God for that. Okay. So, Brother Emilio, if we can get you to come up here for the reading. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Thank you, brother. Just connect that to your...
All right, Acts chapter 2. When you found it, please stand up for the word of God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into dark, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy enemy, thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May the Lord bless this reading. Yep. Heavenly Father, Lord God, just thank you for everything that you've done for us. You've been so faithful, Lord, whether it's just regards to our salvation, that you saved us from from sin and death, coming victorious over the grave, giving us salvation. And not only salvation, that we can also joy in Jesus Christ, that we can know the Father and know you personally on a personal level, and that you hear our prayers, that you've answered them, that you've brought us to church, you know, whether it's been, you know, whether it's helping us to have the health to come to church or making all the travel and giving us smooth travels. And Lord, we also pray that you bless this service, Lord. Just fill the pastor with your Holy Ghost. Just give him utterance and clarity of speech. And also be with us as well, that you will be softening our hearts, ready to receive the word with all meekness, and to just receive it in our hearts, that we may apply it to our lives, and that we may learn more about you, God, to just glorify, to lift up your name, and to be a witness to those around the world. We pray also you bless our lunch, bless our fellowship as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, I had a suggestion if we could take a church photo. We've not had a church photo for years, actually. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So if you guys are happy after the service, before we go out for lunch, if we can, we'll move this pulpit maybe to the side, maybe to that side, and we'll try to take a church photo here with everybody. So we'll aim to do that after the preaching this morning. All right, so we had the reading there from Acts chapter 2. And of course, this is when we have the amazing story of Pentecost, where the disciples were gathered together and the Holy Ghost came upon them. They started to speak with other languages, with other tongues. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to pick it up there from verse number 37, Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Now, we need to notice how they responded there in verse number 41. We've got Peter preaching them to them, right? It says, "Then they gladly received the word." "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So the church in Jerusalem suddenly grew from about 120 people to about 3,000 added. So 3,120 people added to the church there in Jerusalem. Amen. Now, I don't know, because if you keep reading through this chapter, they're meeting in houses. I don't know if someone had a house big enough for 3,000, church members. I don't know. Maybe someone had a massive house or some whatever it is, right? But they also, the Bible tells us they went house to house, breaking bread and things like that. And so it might be possible that within Jerusalem, there were smaller churches just in the city itself. And the 12 disciples or the 11 apostles at that time were going around and just teaching those people. That could be another way of viewing it, okay? But what I love about verse number 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." Brethren, the title for the sermon this morning is "Continue Steadfastly." Continue steadfastly. You've done it for 6 years. And I don't know how you're feeling right now, spiritually speaking. You know, I see your happy faces. I enjoy your fellowship. I enjoy your friendship. I enjoy the conversations we may have via phone call or via text or via email, whatever it is that however we communicate. But I really can't see your spiritual walk with the Lord. I don't know how you're doing so much in the faith, you know? And if you're anything like me, if I can be a judge of my own spiritual life as I, you know, go and get saved from a young boy and teenage years and the adult years and all that, it's not always on the up and up, the spiritual life. Sometimes you're having the little moments of the depression, being cast down, feeling judged or you just fall into sin and you feel like a hopeless wreck. You feel like you feel insecure. You might feel, what's the word I'm looking for? that you're not up to the level of other people in the church. You might say, well, I go to church and brother so-and-so looks like they're doing really well. Sister so-and-so seems to be doing really well. Yeah, it always seems to be, but you know what? One thing that I've learned as a pastor is that we all have problems. Every single one of us have problems. Every single one of us has insecurities and problems in our lives. And we know about our own insecurities. We know about our own problems, but we don't recognize it in others. And I just promise you, I tell you the truth, everyone's got problems. Everyone's got issues. Everyone's got hurts, and everyone's got things that they're trying to overcome in their life. And people have relationship issues, and people have financial difficulties, and people have whatever it is, right? Just every issue under the sun. And so when we go through life, and I've never promised anyone that your Christian life's going to be rosy and it's going to be, you know, just always wonderful and always on the up and up. No, because we have so many enemies that are against us. We have so many adversaries. We have the devil, we have the world, we have our own flesh that is working against us. And sometimes God will use Christians, sometimes God will use even our own church members, our own brothers and sisters in the Lord to be a discouragement to us. And so I don't know how your spiritual walk is going, but I want to exhort you this morning to continue steadfastly. Continue steadfastly serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, thank God for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for you. You know, you are an encouragement to me. Like, honestly, you're not this burden. It's not like, oh, pastor's got to travel every week. Yeah, the travel's a burden. But you're not a burden. Like, coming to church is not a burden. Coming to church is wonderful. You know, being in fellowship, seeing your faces, you know, forming friendships. All these things for me is just great. It's just great to have each one of you part of my life. And with you there supporting me, giving me words of encouragement, it encouraged me to continue steadfastly serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 42 again. How did they continue steadfastly? And this is where I'm going to build a sermon from this morning. It says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine, number one, and fellowship, number two, and in, number three, the breaking of bread, and number four, and in prayers. Okay? So these are the four points that I have for you this morning. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. If we want to continue steadfastly, we want to continue seeing this church for our 10-year anniversary, another 6 years, and another 20 years, whatever God wills, then we need to continue steadfastly. If we fall off the wagon, brethren, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long for one to be discouraged and then to pass on the discouragement to another brother. It doesn't take long for one to get angry at the pastor and then to tell everyone else to get angry at the pastor. It doesn't take long for discouragement to come. And, you know, I want to tell you that you are going to get mad at the pastor sometimes, okay? I'll just be honest with you. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you're going to get upset with one another. You know, brother, sister, and the Lord, whatever, right? Sister so-and-so did not say hi to me this morning. Or brother so-and-so forgot to call me. He said he's going to call me tomorrow, he didn't call me. Whatever it is, right? There's going to be something. Or, you know, brother so-and-so, I don't know if he was joking, but I think it was having a... I don't think it was... Was he being sarcastic or was he trying to attack me? Was he trying to tear me down? And, you know, those things happen. And before you know it, you're not going to continue steadfastly. Before you know it, you're going to think of brothers and sisters in the Lord as the most horrible people in the world. And yet, anywhere you form friendships, anywhere you form, you know, you have people around each other, there's always going to be people issues. And so, you know what? Even in church, there's going to be people issues. And I just want you to continue steadfastly. Because I don't know about you, but first and foremost, I come for Jesus Christ. I come to serve my Lord God Almighty. And I'm not perfect. Like, if I know I'm not perfect to the point that without Jesus, I'm going to hell. That's how bad I am. Okay? Then how do I expect my brothers and sisters to be better than me? Okay, like, I don't have that expectation. I expect people to have problems and failings, and sometimes you're going to rub me the wrong way, I'm going to rub you the wrong way, but I just want to make sure that we continue steadfastly. And the first thing that we saw there was doctrine. Doctrine is what's going to help us to continue steadfastly. Now, we're not going to come to Acts chapter 2 anymore. Come with me to Deuteronomy 32, please. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at the first mention of the word doctrine in the Bible. And it comes from Pastor Moses. Remember, Moses was the pastor, as it were, of the church in the wilderness. And he brings up this word doctrine. What does doctrine mean? It's not that complicated. It just means teaching or teachings. Okay? That's what doctrine really, when you boil it down, it's the teaching. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, this is known as the Song of Moses. This is shortly before he passes away. And he sings this song in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 1. He says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." And so you can see here, Pastor Moses, as he begins to speak, he's saying, to the heavens, give ear. And by the way, that's what gives me the greatest fear when I get up to preach, because I know God is listening. I know the heavens are listening. I'm not just preaching to man. God is hearing what I have to say. Jesus Christ says where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of us. So guess what? This morning, Jesus Christ is in one of these chairs listening to what I have to preach. And he's going to be the biggest critic because I'm using his words. I'm trying to do my best to speak his words. So obviously that gives us a lot of fear. He continues and says, "Oh, hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." So he's speaking to the common man there, the earth being, you know, human beings. "Hear the words of my mouth." And so Moses was a preacher. He was a teacher of the words of God. Then he says this in verse number 2, and for the preachers, this is important for you to remember. This is why you get up here to preach. It says in verse number 2, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Think about those words. When you get up to teach doctrine, what is the purpose of teaching doctrine? Well, he compares teaching doctrine as the rain or as the dew, okay? And we need the dew and the rain for what purpose? For the grass to grow, for the trees to grow, for our crops to grow. You know, the purpose of teaching doctrine is not to destroy, is what I'm trying to say. The purpose of teaching doctrine is to build up, is to encourage, to give, you know, the rain to the, it says there, the tender herb. You know, doctrine ought to be considering that there are people that are tender right now. You know, maybe there are babes in Christ that do not know much. Maybe there are people that feel easily offended. And, you know, if you just, you know, preach at people rather than to people, you can cause great offense. And, you know, there are preachers like that. There are people like, I've come across them, that almost just want to just, you know, tell you all about your sin and like and just destroy. Look, I'm going to preach against sin, but I'm not here preaching against your specific life. Like, I'm here to preach God's word, and if God's word touches your heart, then that's the Holy Spirit doing a work in your life. You know, I want to see you build up. I want to see you as a tender herb grow up and be, you know, fruitful and become a forest and become something great and mature. That is the purpose of doctrine, for growth, not to destroy, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not only that, what else does Moses say in verse number 3? He says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." What else is it? What's the other reason for doctrine? To ascribe greatness unto our God, to publish the name of the Lord. We don't come to publish the name of Pastor Kevin Sepulveda, or to uphold, you know, a great preacher, or lift up man, you know, on a pedestal. No, the reason we come to church and hear doctrine is that we can uphold and lift up and put our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord God Almighty, our Creator, our Savior, the foundation of this church, the head of this church is our Lord God. And so we ought not to be in a church that is uplifting men. Why? Because men fail. And if men fail and we uplift men and our eyes are upon men, guess what? You're going to fail because your eyes are in the wrong place. Now, the purpose of preaching doctrine is for growth and to, of course, put our focus and attention on our Lord God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you come with me to another passage? Come with me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, I did not preach on this very long ago because we're going through the book of Isaiah chapter by chapter on Thursdays. But Isaiah 28, verse number 9. Brethren, the Bible is, say, it's a big book, but it's not really. I mean, I've seen books bigger than this. And, you know, I think the number one book that people read, like fictional book, is the Harry Potter series. And I don't know how many books there are. Is it 9 books? I have no idea. Okay, but you put all those books together, there's more than this one book. Okay, this is not the biggest book in the world, but it's got 66 books. You know, we've got 40 different authors here in this book, and this book is all sufficient for our whole lives. Amen. Like from the time that you get saved to the time that you go down to the grave, this is a book that you need to be reading. Okay, now let me tell you, you will read the book cover to cover. Okay, if you spend 15 minutes a day, you'll read the Bible cover to cover within 1 year. Okay, so it's not difficult to read the Bible cover to cover, but you'll never fully experience the full depth and richness of this Bible for your entire life. You will continue to learn. I continue to learn from God's word every single moment that I pick up his word. There are great riches, okay? There are great riches.
And my point is this, right? This book is supposed to last your entire life, and the next generation, and the generation after that, and generation after that, and generation after that, until we go to be with the Lord forever in the eternal state. Okay? And the reason I say that is that there is no rush to be this all-knowing, I got all the books of the Bible, I know all the doctrines, I know all of it. Brethren, there's no rush. And it's so important that you remember this. Because if you rush to know everything, you will burn out. You need it's a lifelong journey, learning God's word. And I promise, if you read the Bible every single day for 15 minutes, even on the day of your death, there's going to be something that you learn. Something that you did not pick up. Because that's how deep and rich God's word is. And I say that because in Isaiah 28, look at Isaiah 28, verse number 9. Isaiah 28, verse number 9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? You know, Isaiah's asking the question, who can God teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand what? Doctrine. If we're going to continue steadfastly, we need to understand doctrine. Who gives us that knowledge? God. Okay? And I really want you to, like, consider these words. Think about it, okay? Look, I'm not against you listening to sermons every day. But look, if you're listening to, like, 10 sermons a day, if that's your life, like Monday, 10 sermons, Tuesday, 10 sermons, Wednesday, 10, like, God, dude, slow down. Slow down. Who can God teach knowledge? Who can God teach or help understand doctrine? This person, okay? In verse number... in verse number 9 continues, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. The ones that are ready to learn are those that are, as it were, babes. And even willing so much to learn some of the most basic principles of the Bible. The milk of God's word. Now look, God's word, when you are saved, you're not going to know much. Just enjoy the milk, okay? My baby, our newest baby, she's, I think, 8 months. My wife's going to kill me if I get that wrong. I think she's 8 months. She's still drinking milk, believe it or not. She still wants to be on mum's breasts, all right? And now, slowly, we're introducing the solids, all right? Slowly introducing some of that rice cereal, whatever it is, that early stage stuff. And then slowly, you progress maybe to a bit of yogurt, something nicer. You know, but it all takes time. It's patience, right? When baby is born, you're not feeding that baby a steak. We're not taking baby to the Macedonian Thai restaurant, right? We're not doing that. We're just, baby, just enjoy the milk. Because if you don't take it slow, you know, you're not going to be the person that can get the knowledge and the doctrine. You know what happens? And I've seen this. And no offense. Because I want doctrine to be like dew and rain. But I know people that have a lot of knowledge because they've listened to so many sermons online. But then when you ask them, show me that in the Bible, somewhere in the Bible. Why do you believe what you believe? Because of a man? Now that man ought to help you, show you where the Bible contains that information. But if you've just believed something because of a man and you've never gone to God's word, there's something wrong. I'm just telling you, okay? And you're going to stunt your growth because you're going to think you know all things. Look how much I've learned. But when you're ready to show someone the scriptures, you can't. People, you know, I get corrected all the time. Pastor, it's this. Can you show me the Bible? Oh, it's somewhere there. Oh, let me send you this sermon. Just show me the Bible. Can you show me the Bible? Isn't that God's word? Isn't that what we base? Isn't that what we say? We say that all the time. That we build our doctrines from his word. But then when you want to show me something, you can't show me the Bible. It's like, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. People are rushing to grow. And look, when you start young, and look, and you realize, man, there is so much that I still need to absorb. Then you understand this principle. Verse number 10 there in Isaiah 28, verse number 10. For precept must be upon precept. That word precept is kind of like that word, kind of like the word principle, the most basic things. You know, if for you to understand some deep doctrine, you must first lay the foundation. And then you build on that precept another precept. another precept upon that precept. You see, the Bible is something that you slowly grow and add to, bit by bit. This is how God teaches you. Precept upon precept. It says line upon line, line upon line. And this is so important. Here a little and there a little. Here a little and there a little. Now, the average man, they get to their to the height. How old do you get to? I hear that men don't stop growing until they're about 21. But usually by the time they're 16 and 17, they've reached pretty much their max height. But then there might be a little bit further growth afterwards, generally speaking. Okay? 16 years. And we know what it's like. You know, as parents, we don't see it so much because we see our kids every single day. All right? But then if a family or friend that don't see our kids for a few years or a few months even, they'll be like, boy, you know, your son's grown or your daughter's grown. I'm sure we've all kind of said those words. You know, because we've not seen them for a while. But as parents, we see them every day because it's here a little, it's there a little, right? It's here a little, it's there a little. And brethren, that's the same with your Christian understanding. If God's going to teach you things, give you knowledge, teach you doctrine, it's just a little by little, okay? Please don't be the 10 sermons a day believer. A lot. And then a lot, and a lot, and a lot. But you're not actually growing. You think, you have the perception that you're growing. You have the perception of great knowledge. But all you know is what someone said. You don't know what God's word contains. Brethren, if we're going to continue steadfastly, doctrine needs to be a little by little, little by little. And look, I've got 4 points for you today, right? We said doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. If that's too much, just take one of those things. Take doctrine. Make that your, okay, what's the one thing that I'm learning from the sermon this morning? Maybe I should slow down. Take it easy. Get the knowledge. Absorb things. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Little here, little there. Okay? Maybe take that as your principal teaching this morning. And that's sufficient. If that's all you take away from the sermon this morning, that's enough for you to grow thereby. But doctrine is so important for us to continue steadfastly. Can you come with me to Romans chapter 6, please? Come with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. While you're turning to Romans chapter 6, while you're turning to Romans 6, I wanted to read from you from Matthew chapter 7. Because Christ, of course, taught doctrine. And when Christ came to this earth, it says in Matthew 7, 28, you go to Romans 6. Matthew 7, 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. When Jesus was out preaching, I was like, whoa, this is amazing teaching. They're astonished by that. They've never heard any teaching like this before. Because this is why, verse number 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the scribes taught, but not with authority. Jesus Christ taught. Now, of course, he's God Almighty. Of course, he's got authority. But what does it mean to teach with authority? Because there's a lot of false preachers right this morning teaching with authority and fooling the masses. Okay? Well, what authority are we talking about? If we're talking about authority, we're talking about preaching the authority of God's word. Amen. Right? Not the authority of the pastor's authority or a man's authority, the preacher's authority. No, no, if we're going to teach with authority, it doesn't mean that you're teaching with a big voice or a big volume necessarily. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I try to apply that when I can. Okay, but authority comes down to who is the one in charge. Is Pastor Kevin in charge of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Not even close. Okay, it's Jesus Christ, his word. If we're going to teach with authority, we must teach God's word. Okay, we must expound God's word. We must read God's word. We must honor God's word. That is above the opinions and suggestions of man. If we're going to continue steadfastly, we must continue in the authority of God's word. You're there in Romans 6, verse number 17. Romans 6, 17. Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, look at this, but ye have obeyed, so look, we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed what? From the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Another reason doctrine is important is that we no longer serve sin. We need to be obedient to the doctrines. Be obedient to God's word. And look, do we still struggle with sin today? I'll be the first to say so. Put your hand up if you don't struggle with sin. Okay, there you go. We all do. So what's the answer? What's the solution? What's going to help us in life? To obey doctrine. It continues there, verse number 18. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. So why? How else are we going to continue steadfastly with doctrine? We want to make sure when we teach, yes, we highlight sin, the danger of sin, the damage that sin can cause in our lives, but we also need to give the solution. We need to give a way that we can, or an application, a way that we can walk in the paths of righteousness, that we can be servants of righteousness. I hope that's what Blessed Hope Baptist Church has helped you with over the years. I hope so. I hope you can walk away from church and go, boy, I'm serving righteousness more than I did before. I'd be a little bit upset as a pastor. If you're like, pastor, for 6 years, I'm even more in sin. I'm doing even less righteousness. I'd be like, oh, man. But all we can do, of course, is teach doctrine. And then it's your own personal responsibility to decide whether I'm going to obey those words or not. You're in Romans. Come with me to another passage here in Romans 16. Romans 16, verse number 17. Romans 16, verse number 17. Did you know there's not a single human being in this church that will agree 100% with me on everything? I guarantee you, there's not a single person, maybe even right now this morning, I've said something that you don't even agree with. Okay, now look, there are going to be differences of opinions and even differences of understanding certain scriptures. And that's just part of being a human being, because we don't have absolute knowledge. We're not infallible with our teaching and our wisdom and our different experiences and backgrounds, and maybe even our grammatical understanding of English sometimes may affect the way we understand certain passages. But in Romans 16, verse number 17, I want you to be also careful about this, brethren. It says in verse number 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." There are people that we are to avoid. You say, who is it, pastor? You know, Brother Tim, because he said, yeah. Brother Tim on Sunday said, I disagree with pastor's teaching on Thursday. Are we to mark him and avoid him? Look, that person that is teaching a contrary doctrine, if their teaching is causing this, look at verse number 17 again. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause what? Divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have delivered you. It's not that we may have a contrary view or understanding. Look, the fact that you're here this morning, like, again, I know you're not all going to agree with me about something, and I know you're not all going to agree with one another. Whoever you think is the closest to you in understanding certain things, you're going to find a disagreement in some area of the Bible. But are we causing offenses? Are we causing divisions? No. And this is what you need to be aware of, okay? Just because, you know, Brother Anthony believes Adam had a belly button and I don't. And I don't, that's not even true. Anyway, whatever it is, right? Pastor, did you know Brother Anthony believes Adam had a belly button? You said he didn't. Oh, man, we need to get him out of the church or something. I was like, you're an idiot. You're the one causing divisions. You're the one causing controversy here. It's not a big deal. It's nothing. So what? So I want you to understand how we apply this. Okay? Just because, well, pastor down the road said this different to you, Pastor Kevin. Let's get rid of it. Let's mark him, avoid him. You seem like the one causing divisions. If we have that kind of attitude. If pastor down the road is saved. Okay? He's got the right gospel. Teach him from the King James Bible, right? Doing the best he can, even if you don't think he's up to the standard you think he ought to be. I'm not going to just mark him and avoid him and call him a devil or something like this. Sometimes we have that attitude, because I know doctrine and that pastor doesn't know the doctrine that I know. Man, who's causing divisions? And, you know, so all I'm saying, brethren, is be careful of doctrines that cause divisions and offenses. Remember what I said? When I'm teaching doctrine, I'm not here to offend you. Like, I'm not here to just tear you down. I'm here to preach you God's word. I want to think of you guys as tender herbs. I want to encourage you. And sometimes God's word will offend you. But I tell you, it's not offending the new man. It's not offending the spirit that's been revived within you, that was born again. Sometimes God's word, many times, it'll just offend your flesh. Okay, it'll offend your sinful nature. So be it, because we want to learn about these sins and walk in the paths of righteousness. But the reason I wanted to read this verse to you is because be careful about who you listen to online. Just because they say Jesus, or just because they read from the King James Bible, or just because they have the word Baptist in the name, doesn't mean that's someone you need to listen to. Because they might be a very divisive, offensive person, causing destruction. Those kinds of people are to be avoided. Look at verse number 18. It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." You say, "Pastor, what's going to help me not to be deceived by false doctrine?" Don't be simple. It's the simple that are easily deceived. You know, if you grow little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you will be grounded on the foundations of the Bible. You'll be able to go to God's word, and when someone says, "This is a contradiction," you'll be like, "No, it's not," because you've built your foundations. You know exactly how to understand that passage, and you go from there, and you won't be led away by the false doctrines of false prophets. So, brethren, for us to continue steadfastly, number one, we need doctrine being taught. We need to give focus and attention on doctrine. Otherwise, you're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Okay? Now, the next thing that we spoke about was fellowship, the importance of fellowship. Can you come with me to 1 John, please? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, I better hurry up. Spent too much time on doctrine. 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. What is fellowship? The word ship, like in relationship, fellowship, has to do with a state of being. And so a relationship, the state of being is that you're related one to another. A fellow is a man, a person, a human being. A state of being is that we have a commonality between our fellow man, fellowship. It's all about church and we're coming together for fellowship. That's important. That's an important part of continuing steadfastly. You know, sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I don't go to church for fellowship. I just go for Jesus." I mean, Jesus is number one, but if you avoid fellowship altogether, you will not continue steadfastly. That's important. That's an important part. And I often say this. Look, this is just a reality of church, whether you like this statement or not. People like Blessed Hope Baptist Church and people like New Life Baptist Church for the doctrine. And people will often move to our churches for our doctrine. But you know what's going to keep them in church? Fellowship. If they feel like, "Yeah, this church is the right doctrine, but no one likes me. No one talks to me. Everyone gives me, I don't know, a side glance. Rude. You know, they avoid me." Do you think they're going to want to hang around? Fellowship is key for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to continue steadfastly. Okay? Now look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." So John is saying, look, we're telling you what I've seen, what I've heard, because John was one of the apostles. I was teaching about Jesus. This is what I've seen. I'm telling you all about Jesus, right? This is why. "That ye also may have fellowship with us." So it says the important part of our fellowship is that we have in common Jesus. This is why I'm telling you what I've seen, what I've heard, so we can have fellowship one with another. And then he says this, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You know what's going to fix or improve the fellowship at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? If we have fellowship with the Father and his Son on a personal basis. You want to get along with each other? Then have fellowship with God. Have fellowship with Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading your Bible. Spend time finding a quiet place alone. Get away from the TV. Get away from the video games. Get away from the social media. And take your Bible to a quiet place and say, God, I want some fellowship with you. God, I've got things to talk to you about. And Lord, you speak to me in return as I open your word. You know what? As you improve your fellowship with God Almighty, naturally through His love, you're going to improve the fellowship one with another here at this church. Okay? You know, have you ever sort of met a stranger, just a complete stranger? You've got nothing in common with that stranger. I'm sure this has happened if you've lived long enough. And then you get talking and you find out that you've got the same mutual friend. Or you have something in common, somebody in common. And then all of a sudden, you're two strangers, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, like someone's like, you know each other. Because you're talking about the same person, and yeah, this person's like this, oh man, how long have you known? Well, wow, you know, yeah, he's been, I've known him for this long, and what have you. All of a sudden, you're complete strangers, but because you know the same mutual person, there develops a fellowship, a closeness. You've got something in common. Well, that which we have in common, the same person that we all share, is Jesus Christ. Think about that. If not for Jesus, you and I would be complete strangers. Did you know that? I mean, I might bump into Les at the gym, but we would not have the same deep friendship, would we? He would not lend me his car just because he met some stranger at the gym, right? Les goes, well, you know Jesus, I know Jesus. And so we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, think about it. I often think about that we would not know each other. We would not be meeting this morning right now. I'd be watching Chile versus Canada, whatever it is, if we did not know Jesus, right? Jesus is what brings us together. Like, what better friend is there? Like, when you think of that example, right? When two people, strangers, know the same person and it builds a connection, the best friend we've all have is Jesus. He saved us. It's like, oh, you know Jesus too? Yeah, he saved me 10 years ago, right? He saved me 5 years ago. Man, like, that ought to be, like, if there's anything that brings us together in fellowship, it's our love for Jesus. And you know what? When a church does not have fellowship, when a church does not develop friendships, it's because someone's love for Jesus is not in order. Could you imagine like two people, like, you know Jesus? I mean, he saved me, praise God, but yeah, I don't really like walking in his ways. I don't really like the people that call themselves Christians because they're all hypocrites. And like, man, that's the wrong attitude to have. If you love Jesus, if you truly love Jesus, you will love your brother and sister in the Lord.
Amen.
Because Jesus loves your brother and sister in the Lord enough to die for them as well, to pay for their sins as well. You're there in 1 John, look at verse number 5. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's going to help your fellowship with your fellow man? Again, our fellowship with God, but there is no darkness in God. So if you're walking in darkness, and we all make mistakes, of course, but if we walk in darkness and we just live a sinful life, we don't pick up our Bibles, we don't care about church, brethren, you're not in fellowship with him. Okay? And you lie. You say I'm in fellowship with God, but you're lying. And in reality, you're only really lying to yourself. Okay? Look at verse number 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So again, I don't know your position and your fellowship with God this morning. I know if your fellowship is with God is right, then your fellowship with your brothers and sisters are going to be right. I know that. And I know that if your fellowship with God is wrong, then your fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the church will be wrong as well. These things cannot be separated. But if your fellowship with God is wrong, if you are in darkness, you know, if you know you've not been praying toward him, you've not been opening his word, then what's the promise here? It says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You can keep reading for yourself. All we need to do is confess our sins before Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. I've not been walking with you. I've not been walking in the light. Lord, I've been walking in darkness. Lord, I've not been seeking your fellowship. Lord, I've not even been seeking fellowship with my brothers and sisters in the Lord at church. Can you please forgive me? And that's it. Done and dusted. All right? Now you're back in the light. Open his word. Love the Lord. Sing him praises. You know, whenever there's a burden in your heart, instead of going and telling some other human being, go and tell Jesus first. Go and tell the Lord first. Build a fellowship. Build friendship with Jesus Christ. Can you come with me to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. You know what breaks my heart is when brothers and sisters in the Lord don't get along. It breaks my heart. When there's divisions, you know, when there are offenses, it's like, let's just get along. Like, let's just put things aside, right? If I have a beef with you, let's talk about it. Let's just get over it. Let's move on. Let's serve Jesus together. It breaks my heart because there's so few of us. Like really, when you think about how many believers there are in the world, like truly saved. Like you say, there are a lot of Christians. You know, there's, I don't know, I'm just going to make this up. There's 1.8 billion Christians in the world, yeah, but they're not saved. How many people are truly saved? Think about that. How many of the saved actually are King James only and Baptist and have a heart for winning souls? When you start to add all these different layers, it becomes less and less and less and less. So, and I want to have fellowship. And then we're arguing and this issue and that issue and this is wrong, it's right. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
You're going to be alone. You're going to have nobody. Going to just divide churches and cause issues everywhere you go. And it tells me your heart's not right with the Lord. Like if that's the attitude you've got. Like to me, it's like we've got a full house this morning. It takes 6 years to grow, you know. And then it's like, that's it. I don't like this brother. I don't like that sister. Divisions. Family goes here. Family goes there. It's like, man, that labor, that effort, the love for Christ, the what we ought to have, the walking in the light instead of the darkness, it's like, man, because we're such selfish creatures sometimes. We just easily judge one another rather than realizing all the faults that we have within ourselves. So I don't want to argue with you. If you hate me right now, brother, if I offended you, tell me. I just want to make peace with you. I've got no problem saying sorry. Even if I think I didn't do anything wrong. I don't care. If you think I did something wrong, I'll say sorry to you. Honestly, like that's how I am, because I love you. And the reason I love you is because I love Jesus. That's it, you know? And to me, that is vastly more superior than the one rude word I said to you or the one rude word you said to me, you know, 10 years ago. We're still holding the grudge 10 years later or something. You know, that's crazy to me. But anyway, the reason I say that, there's so few of us, is because in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 1, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. Corinthian church was really messed up. But he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So he's talking about the Macedonian churches. And then he says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." He says the Macedonian churches have gone through great trials, great tribulations. And yet there's an abundance of joy. And look, it says they've got deep poverty. These churches in Macedonia aren't rich churches. Okay, they haven't got deep pockets. And yet, they've abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He says these Macedonian churches have dug in deep into their pockets, even though they're poor, even though they're going through trials and tribulations, and they've given of their finances. He's kind of saying that, if you know the context of all this, he's kind of shaming the Corinthian church. Because the Corinthian church is not a poverty, right? It's a rich church. Okay? And I'll keep going, verse number 3. It says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves," beyond their power. So again, they're poor. They're doing more than they really should. They're giving more than really what they have, is what he's saying. They've gone beyond their power. And this is why, verse number 4, "praying us, which with much entreaty, that we should receive the gift." Paul's like, no, Macedonian churches, you're giving too much. And they're like, no, please, Paul, you know, take this. You know, take it for the purpose of the ministry, that we should receive the gift. Look at this. And this is so important. "And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, I'll give you the context of this. The churches in Judea and Jerusalem, they went through a massive drought. There was a shortage of food. There were famines. And so the Jerusalem church sends representatives to other churches and says, "Guys, we're not doing very well in Jerusalem." And so the churches come together and they do a special offering. for the brethren down in Judea. Okay? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthian church, remember you guys promised that you're going to send something to Judea? You haven't done it yet, guys. Come on, like, you know, this is kind of embarrassing. And then we get to 2 Corinthians. They still haven't done it. Okay? And he's telling them, look, the Macedonian churches, they're so poor and they've got above their power. And they said, look, just take it, Paul. We need to go and help those brothers down in Jerusalem. And he's trying to encourage the Corinthian church, guys, get your things together. That's where he later on, he goes, you know, give willingly, you know, not grudgingly, and all these kinds of things that he teaches. And what I love about this is that in verse number 4, it says, beyond their power, they were of themselves, willing of themselves, praying, sorry, verse number 4, praying us, we much entreated that we should receive the gift, look, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. So you see, fellowship is not always just getting together, having coffee, going for lunch, going to church. It's also looking out for the needs of one another. Okay, this is the Macedonian churches. They probably don't even know anyone in Jerusalem, but they've heard about their need. They've heard about the great drought. And they're like, you know what? This is one way we can show our fellowship toward our brothers over there. Let's give. Even though we're poor, we're going to dig in deep, Paul, take these resources and go help the church down there in Jerusalem. That's one way to show fellowship. And that's why I said, well, it's not many of us. And guess what? We all have issues. We all have trials. Sometimes it happens. A brother, a family in the Lord is going to need financial help, financial aid. Okay? And one way we can show our fellowship is to say, hey, let's put together a special offering for this purpose or that purpose. Let's show our fellowship to our brother who is struggling. And brethren, if we're always just fighting, and I'm not saying we do, I'm just an example, right? If we're just fighting, conflict, oh, this problem, this brother, blah, blah, he doesn't believe like I believe on this doctrine, and blah, blah. We're never going to be able to come together and show fellowship in a time of need. Like, we need each other. You know, God's put us together to support one another, to pray for one another, okay? And again, I told you, we all have problems, every single one of us. You know, you might get angry, your sister so-and-so ignored me at church today. Yeah, you probably don't realize how much her heart is breaking and her mind's filled with problems and worries and issues, and she just doesn't feel like smiling today because she's bearing so much upon her shoulders. But you don't see that part, but we're quick to criticize. But brethren, our focus, if we want to continue steadfastly, ought to be fellowship. I've got two more points. Let's get through them quickly, okay? The breaking of bread, the breaking of bread. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, in the Bible, the breaking of bread can be two things. It can be just general food. Just getting together for lunch, you know. Sometimes Brother Ash is like, hey, let's just go to the Assyrian sports club and grab some dinner after on a Thursday. Yeah, that's kind of the idea of breaking bread, just sharing one another. But I want to show you, obviously, in the Bible, when the Bible speaks of breaking of bread in those kinds of words, this is more than that. This is actually communion. This is when we get together and, you know, have the grape juice and the bread, and we remember the body and of Jesus Christ. Look at there in 1 Corinthians 10:16. 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So like the bread that we break, what is that? That's the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We've all been saved by the broken body of Christ and his shed blood. Okay, the bread, the grape just represents the body of Christ being sacrificed for us. And that's what communion is. Union, bringing us together. What brings us together is the broken body of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice. And brethren, if we're going to continue steadfastly, we need to break bread together. And look, it's our church anniversary. Just letting you guys know, this coming Thursday, if you can make it to church, we'll break bread. Okay? Brother Rams, if you can organize some pizzas for us. Yeah. Pizzas on the Horsley. Okay? If you get the trivia questions right, it'll be free. Okay? It'll be free for you guys. Pizza on the Horsley, Thursday, we'll have a meal together. Won't preach for too long. And then we'll break bread. Because I want to continue steadfastly. I want to see another 6 years. So let's spend time to break bread and remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now let's talk about prayers. We talk about breaking of bread. Let's go to prayers. Come with me to Matthew 21. Come with me to Matthew 21, verse number 12. Like I said, I'm just speeding up these points here. Matthew 21, verse 12, please. Matthew 21. In hindsight, I should have made each of these points the sermon. Matthew 21, verse number 12. Of course, this is when Christ is walking the earth, ministry. Just very quickly, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the house of the Lord, the house of God. In the New Testament days, the house of the Lord is your local church. Okay? But when Christ walked the earth, the house of the Lord was the temple. Okay? The second temple that was reconstructed after the Jews returned from Babylon. Anyway, in Matthew 21, verse number 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Now, one thing I know for certain, the house of God here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not a den of thieves. I know that for certain. But I want it to be a house of prayer. And at New Life Baptist Church on Wednesday nights, after the service, we stop and have a time of prayer. The reason I don't do it on Thursday is because we generally start later here at 7 o'clock. And so it just takes up an extra time to have a time of prayer. But we saw, if we want to continue steadfastly, the fourth point was prayers. We need to pray together. And number one, we ought to be praying on our own, with our own fellowship with God, of course. But we ought to be praying one for another. And if you can come with me to another passage, join Matthew. So come with me to Matthew 17. Come with me to Matthew 17, please. And while you're turning to Matthew 17, I'll just read to you from Ephesians 6, verse 18. You go to Matthew 17. Ephesians 6, 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And this is important. "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." If we want to continue steadfastly, we're talking about perseverance. We want to persevere. We want to continue. Persevere. Well, we will see here in Ephesians 6:18 is that we need to be watching for the saints. Okay, we need to be bringing our supplication. Supplication means our needs. Our needs, our prayers before God for all saints. You know, brethren, it's good and proper to say to one another, "Brother, can you pray for me? Church, can you pray for me?" You don't need to give people all the details. Because sometimes, you know, there are private matters. Or there are personal sins that you just don't want to broadcast to the whole world. All right? We don't need to know all those things. But if you turn around and say, "Brother, I've got a silent prayer." Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you had a fight with your spouse. And you just don't want to be broadcast that, right? You don't want your spouse to look like a horrible person or something like that. You just say, "Brother, I've got a silent prayer. The Lord knows. Can you please lift me up in prayer? Sister, can you lift me up in prayer?" That's good and proper. We have our church chat, WhatsApp. You know, some people don't like WhatsApp, whatever it is, right? But if you've got something that you're willing to share, "Hey, church, can you pray for this?" Let's use these opportunities, these technologies, you know, church, fellowship, to come together and bring our needs once, because we all have needs. Who does? I'm sure you all have a need. Like, I'm sure if I spent time with you, enough time, you know, talking to you today, you'll be saying, "Pastor, there's this issue that I need in my life. You know, Pastor, I don't know, I'm struggling financially, struggling to pay the bills. You know, Pastor, I've just, my heart is toward the world and, you know, I'd rather watch Cop America than go to church this morning." You know, "Pastor, you know, someone at church doesn't like me, or I don't like this person," or whatever it is, right? I guarantee there's something. There's something. "Pastor, I've got this sickness in my body and it's just bringing me down because I feel pain every morning when I get up," or whatever. "You know, Pastor, I'm single. I haven't found a wife, or I haven't found a husband yet, and it's a burden on my heart." Whatever, you know, everyone's got some issue, don't you? All of you do. And so we ought to be praying for one another. And, you know, so this coming Thursday, pizza's on the Horsley. All right? We're going to eat. We're going to feast, just like this afternoon. And we're going to have the Lord's table. We're going to break bread. And then next Thursday, we're going to pray and fast. Okay, we're going to pray and fast for our church. And brethren, it's good to share our concerns. Again, however, whatever measure you want to share that, it's up to you individually. Okay, but look at Matthew 17, verse number 14. Matthew 17, verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So this is a poor man, his son's going crazy, he's got a devil within him. And he's gone to the disciples, he's gone to, you know, these disciples have the power, God's given them the power to cast out devils. He goes, but they can't cure him. Verse number 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I said unto you, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence from to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer was insufficient to cast out this particular devil. And I don't know the spiritual realm. I don't know it enough. The Bible just tells us we have flavors of it, bits and pieces here and there. Okay? But there are some issues that just continue in our lives. I'm sure there are issues you've been praying about for years. And it seems like I never get an answer. I never get a solution. Why is that? Well, number one, God's heard your prayers. I guarantee you that. He hears our prayers. And maybe God's already answered it. You just don't realize it. The answer might be on its way. But one sure reason, potentially, maybe sure, potentially, different words. Right? One potential reason, I should say, is that sometimes we just don't take things in prayer and fasting. You know, one thing that really blew my mind was at New Life Baptist Church. This was in the early days. We went like 3 months without seeing a soul saved. We're out there week in, week out, preaching the gospel. No one's hearing us. And I don't know if it was my decision or someone else's decision. We just spent time praying and fasting on a Wednesday night. We said, guys, we're just going to fast. I don't know what's going on. Okay. That weekend, salvations. And then every weekend afterwards, salvation after salvation after salvation after salvation. It's like, okay, we had to fast. Now again, I don't know all the issues that we have within this church, mate, and your own personal struggles or, you know, how the Lord can further bless. Maybe there are hindrances to how God can further bless His church. And so, hey, next Thursday, this coming Thursday, we feast, we break bread, okay, we have communion, but the following Thursday, I want us to spend time in prayer and fasting. Because I want to continue steadfastly. I want Blessed Up Baptist Church to continue for another solid 6 years and beyond, okay? So, brethren, in conclusion, title for the sermon was Continue Steadfastly, Continue Steadfastly. Number one, for us to continue steadfastly, we must continue in doctrine. Doctrine is so important. Preaching doctrine, learning doctrine, but be patient. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay? Here a little, there a little. Number two, we need to continue in fellowship. You know, please try to form friends in church. You know, get yourself out of your comfort zone. Open up a little bit. You know, the best way to make friends, I just think, is to show interest in someone else's life. That's how I make friends. I just start asking you about your life. Okay? And because I don't make friends very easily. Like, I don't have best friends. You are all my friends. That's how I see it. That could be wrong. Maybe you should. My wife is my best friend. Let's put it that way. My wife is my best friend, and the rest of you guys are friends. Sometimes people say to me, oh, Pastor, you're really close to that person. And I'm thinking, I'm as close to that person as I'm close to you. that's how I am, right? But to me, the easiest way to make friends is just to ask about your life. And then when you tell me something next week, oh, how's that thing that you told me about last week? And then that makes you feel like I care about you. And then you like me. And then we like each other. And we're friends, you know? Fellowship's important. Number three, breaking of bread. We're going to be doing that this coming Thursday. Please be there on Thursday if you can make it. And number four, we must continue steadfastly in prayers. Not just for our own needs, but for the needs of others. All right, brethren, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the 6 years that you've given Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I never for the life of me thought we would last 6 years. Lord, when we started this church, it was meant to just be a band-aid solution, Lord, just a temporary measure, a temporary fix for the controversies that were going on during that time. But Lord, thank you for adding to this church. And Lord, thank you for the faithful members that have been here. Lord, even from the very beginning and then added on to afterwards. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, we are not the biggest church in Australia. Lord, we're not the richest church in Australia. We're not even the church that has the most activities. And Lord, there are things that, of course, Lord, as a church, we can develop and build. And Lord, but we want to be able to do those things with your help. Lord, give us your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for the 6 years, and continue, help us to continue steadfastly in your word by the help of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's any divisions, if there's any conflicts, you know, problems amongst the brethren, Lord, even things that I may not be aware of, please, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them peace, Lord. I pray that you'd bring union. Lord, that we would remember why we even gather together. It's for the name of Christ. And Lord, there's nothing greater than your Son and his sacrifice. So Lord, if we just give our attention to the most important things, the spiritual things, Lord, I know that our church will be able to continue for another 6 years. Thank you, Lord, for being a great Savior, for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, hymn number 216, please. 216. Don't forget, after the service, we'll have a church photo. Okay. 216, 216. Where is it? We'll sing, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. I hope that will be the case for our church. 216, 216. "Surely goodness and mercy." Very quickly, let me think.
Are there any birthdays? Anyone celebrate a birthday this week? No birthdays, just the church? Happy birthday, church. I think my wife's birthday is coming up this week, actually. Let me just check that. Thanks for the reminder, guys. Let's see. Yes, it's my wife's birthday on the 6th of June, so that's Thursday. All right, so if you want to send my wife a little text message, happy birthday on Thursday. Is that right? No, in July.
Saturday.
Thank you, Mum. I was thinking, oh, man, my wife's birthday on Thursday. I'm coming to church. I messed up. No, no, it's all right. Saturday, 6. All right. Christina's birthday. Happy birthday, Christina. So there's no one else's birthday this week? No? Any wedding anniversaries? No? All right. So don't forget, we're going to do a church photo straight afterwards. And then we're heading to... If you can share that address, brother, on the church chat. How far is it? It's about a...
It's on the Horsley Drive.
It's on the Horsley
16,
Drive.
1647 Horsley Drive.
Yeah, maybe a 20-minute drive from here.
Maybe
15, 20-minute drive from here. I'm trying to think. There was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, I'll turn off the... that I wanted to cover. Am I missing anything important? Brother Tim's got some trivia for us at the restaurant.
Got pens.
Oh, pens. Oh, I think we'll be okay. We'll just shout it out. Alright, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Les, do you mind closing us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to all gather here safely to hear your word for this special day, this anniversary of ours. Please bless the fellowship. Bless the drive over there, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, the way he preaches the word so clearly for us to understand. And just bless the rest of the day, Lord. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're not really dismissed because we're going to do a photo now, okay? Yeah. Thank you, guys.